We're on.
Okay. Thank you very much. Welcome to everyone, and thank you for being here. This is the City Council study meeting for the City of South Jordan. Today is Tuesday, January 17th, 2023. My name is Dawn Ramsey, and I'm the mayor of South Jordan City and joined by our outstanding City Council who are seated here next to me. Thank you all for being here. Mrs. Zander is on her way. She'll be here soon. We also appreciate our administrative staff who are here and members of the public who are here joining us. We appreciate you being here, both with us in person and online. Welcome. We're going to open our meeting this evening with an invocation by our Director of City Commerce, Mr. Brian Priest.
Our kind and gracious Father in Heaven, we're thankful for the opportunities that we have in this wonderful city. We're thankful that we've been able to receive moisture and the things that we need, and we're thankful for all the blessings that Thou hast bestowed on us. We ask Thee to bless us tonight that we might be able to engage with one another, and we might, in a helpful and open-minded way, that we might be able to solve the problems and issues that face the city, and that we can do what's best for all those that are residents and have businesses here in the city. And we ask Thee this humbly in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Mr. Priest. All right. Mayor and Council coordination. Anybody have anything you want to bring up? The only thing I have, and we'll probably bring it up again when Tamara here, is just a reminder of Local Officials Day tomorrow. It's at the Hyatt this year, the new Hyatt Regency downtown that's attached to the Salt Palace. Yeah. Yeah, so we have young people from our youth council supposed to be at the Capitol between 7:30 and, I don't know, in the morning for several hours. And then we've got our large city caucus at 10, if anybody can join that.
At the Capitol, they'll be doing their making a law and all that
process. Yeah, doing all their training. So if anybody wants to get up in Capitol to say hi to the kids early, you can, but you don't have to. And then the lunch we'll have, if anybody can join us.
What time's lunch start?
Noon, I think.
So at 10 o'clock, they're having the large city caucus. At 11 o'clock, they're having LPC. And then at noon, they're transitioning LPC into the lunch. And isn't the governor the keynote speaker, I believe?
Yes. Yeah.
So
you going to save some tables for us then?
Yeah, we're going to try.
See if we're back.
I'm not sure exactly
to the back again.
Who's coming. Are we going back to the back?
I don't know.
Do we need to choose?
Well,
it's too soon. We should still get
a someone like
some
us
of us are still on the executive committee. We're going to still take the bus.
Oh, okay.
So, I don't know. We'll see.
Others of us might like the back.
We'll find out. I don't know. We'll see where they put us.
What are we really needed for? Do we need to be at the large caucus?
I'll be covering that.
And I'll be there. I have to miss part of it to introduce the First Lady. She's the keynote speaker to the youth. Oh. I just found out today I'm introducing her. I had no idea what Ken was talking about, but I have to step out for that. And Ryan will be there, and I'll be heading back into there. So if anybody can come, if not, we'll take notes, you know. And then LPC is 11.
LPC's 11.
I can do LPC.
It's going to be the first LPC session, so it's going to be a broad overview of what you guys had, or what we had in the last LPC. So,
which I wasn't able to attend.
If you're pushing time and your calendar's short and you only have an hour or two,
the lunch is the most important part. Yeah, for sure.
That's where you'll see everybody and be able to say hi.
So we'll get there, and I don't know where they'll put us, but we'll find each other.
Try and get our representatives to sit with us again.
Yeah.
We're sharing more of them, other than Representative Tusher. We're sharing more of them with
other communities.
Representative Pulsifer with Sandy and
stuff.
Yeah. So we'll see how it shakes out.
Yeah. Let's get as many as we can. Yeah. It is unique, though, now that we have more representatives with a piece of South Jordan and shared with other communities. It'll be interesting to see how that
goes. I heard we have at least 8 youth council coming. Possibly more. So we'll probably split up on 2 tables. And so if you guys wouldn't mind us like situating a few of you with some youth council and a few with others.
We're just discussing Local Officials Day tomorrow.
Yeah. The seating arrangement.
Well, we don't know what it will look like, but we'll find out when we get there. But
great call.
Could be some county council people there that you could sit by.
Thanks.
Um that's really as far as coordination, all that I have. I have one more piece to mention that happened today, but I think I'll just save it for the next meeting. We got some great accolades today at the Capitol. So, yeah.
To the In the session, the speaker?
Yes, the opening session from the speaker.
If you listen to KSL, the part they played on KSL of the speaker's opening remarks is his good friend, Mayor Don Ramsey from South Jordan.
Sweet. I tried to get on to KSL and listen live. I need some coaching on how to do that because I couldn't get it to work.
He was very kind. Well,
good. About the work that's happening here. So, we'll talk about that in the next meeting. So, yeah, this was good.
Friend.
No.
Very good friend, I think.
Very good. BFF.
We'll see how long it lasts.
It is day one.
We'll see what he's saying in March. On March
3rd.
Day 44 is always different.
So, anyway, anybody have any other coordination to bring up? Okay. Let's just jump to the review of our agenda because it is meaty tonight. We have a lot going on and some exciting things. Excited to have the Harriman High Chinese New Year celebration come and have those students come and present. They're doing great work. It's so cool. Yeah, so excited to have them come.
And on that mirror, when it's time for them to present, just like welcome them, and then they'll start their whole presentation.
Awesome.
Is your daughter in it?
Yeah, my daughter.
So cool.
We also have a proclamation honoring the Harriman High School cross country team, who took third place at the National Cross Country Championship this year. Literally third place in the nation.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
That's unusual.
They've done awesome. And as you all know, Harriman High School is a South Jordan feeder school with between 75 and 80% of the student body living in South Jordan.
Really?
So,
I didn't know that. 75 to 80.
Yeah, quite a bit. Yeah. So we have invited them. We look forward to honoring them. And I just want you to know that I anticipate we'll probably have a full house tonight, and we're not going to know if it's folks here to speak in public comment or during public hearings or parents of the students, but there will probably be a lot of people.
Bring them on.
If we have a bunch of people here, I might ask for an amendment to change the agenda a little bit and put these two high school portions before the public comment period so that those kids don't have to sit here forever. So anyway, we'll gauge that when we get in there, but it might be a good idea. So... and then we have Carlton Christensen, the chairman of the board who represents Salt Lake County on UTA's board, coming to do a presentation on microtransit on-demand service here in South Jordan, an update on how that program is going, and knowing that that is the bulk of the transit service that we have here in our city. We have almost very, very little bus service, very little, but we do have microtransit on-demand. For first and last mile. So Carlton Christensen is going to come and give us an update about that and tell us how that's going. Anybody have any questions about that? Okay. We've got our adopting our comprehensive emergency management plan, which we went over last time. We reviewed that, had a good presentation about that. So if you have any additional questions, you can ask them. But otherwise, it's what we went over last time. It's the presentation we got from Aaron last time. We'll be adopting that. And then we've got several public hearing items. We're going to amend our moderate income housing plan. And is there anything in advance that we need to go over for that?
I don't think so, unless there's anything from Director Schaefer Meyer.
Not unless you have questions.
Okay. We'll do that. And then also we are doing our mid-year amended budget. Where's Sue?
I'm right here, man. Yeah. If you, Mr. Shelton, send out a question this afternoon, I'm happy to walk through that now if you want, or later, or whatever questions you have, I'm happy to address it.
I'd prefer in city council meeting if that's okay with you.
Okay. Thank you. Anybody have any other questions about budget right now? Okay. We've got the RISE development land use items. We'll have a presentation and then a public hearing on a resolution and a public hearing on the zoning ordinance. and a resolution on a development agreement. So we've had some quite a few meetings about this, talked about this a few times. We've had some public feedback about this, and I anticipate we'll probably have more tonight. I would imagine we probably will. Does anybody have any specific questions about this right now for this meeting? One of them.
I do, Mayor. It was last time we met that the city hired someone to do an engineering study on traffic. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that just the last time we met? For this area, right?
That's correct.
Is someone from staff going to be sharing that information for the public to hear as we start hearing this proposal?
I don't think that was intended.
No, so there was a traffic study specific to the development that was done that's part of the packet. So our intent was to rely on that because it focused on the flow of the streets mm-hmm. in the actual development as well as the street design. And then
I think, you know, what Mr. Taylor did last time at the work session was just kind of give an overview of how mm-hmm. traffic in the area worked.
Right.
Like Mr. Schaefer said, there's a specific traffic study for the development in your package mm-hmm. that shows the anticipated amount of traffic from this development, which way it will go. So if you got specific questions about that.
I don't have a specific question. I just thought that was really helpful to have him come in last time and give us that overview of traffic patterns. And I think that there's a lot of public in attendance in the public comment or in the chambers that it might be nice for someone from council, or not council, but someone from staff to just highlight what was learned last time for the information for the public.
If the council would like, I do have.
Does
that.
Does anyone else feel like that?
I think it's a huge part of it. I mean,
we paid money for that study, yeah. And it's a beneficial study.
I think they're going to abbreviate the version, you know, of way
yeah.
to go through it. But.
Yeah, that's just my thought. If I was the public and I was coming,
we still have that.
I think it's still on here.
PowerPoint, right?
We can bring it up. We have it apart. We have it on the record as part of the minutes from the last meeting with the audio recording as well that we.
Right. But does the average resident pay attention or listen and watch that? That's my concern. Is if I'm,
I don't know if we can bring that up.
I'm thinking if we have people in the chamber, it would be great if the council, if the staff could give just a summary of that.
Phil said he could bring it up and we could just quickly walk through that.
Does anybody else?
Well, I think it's a great idea, Taylor. I mean, it shows that we really did our due diligence on this thing.
Yes. We're not just walking into this. We've done a lot of discussion, and
yeah.
I think that piece was something we invested in as a city.
Mm-hmm. So usually I get up and run through the staff report, try to do kind of a high level, and then if the applicant wants to, then usually they have a chance before public comment. Where would you like this in that kind of order for things, just so that they know? Do we want to do it after my sort of summary, and then run through that presentation?
I think after your comments is most appropriate.
Like that, right?
And then we'll let the applicant speak, and then we'll do the public hearing.
Mm-hmm.
So folks have the chance to hear everything before they weigh in.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
I just think that'll help the public. I want them to know we really were thoughtful on this.
Okay, good question.
Thanks.
Okay. Any other questions about this item for this meeting? No? Okay, thank you. All right. And then we've got, as part of this whole section, another resolution to amend the future land use plan map and another zoning ordinance rezoning property in this area. So there's a lot to this tonight, and anybody has any additional questions, let us know. We'll go through. That takes us kind of to the end of that. We've got some discussion items now. Does anybody have any other questions about the agenda? Okay. By way of note, the city posted a video about an hour ago of our statement regarding the Larry H. Miller announcement that they are moving the bees to South Jordan in 2025. So our statement was just read on a video and was sent out to answer all of the media inquiries and also put on our city's social media page so that the entirety of it will be posted. On Twitter, I looked and I did see that shortly after it was posted that a couple of reporters, a couple of key reporters had retweeted it and said, you know, here's a statement from South Jordan, whatever. So it'll get some traction. We'll probably see it in the media, but it's our statement, and then we'll look forward to being able to put more information out in the future.
And I thought it was really nice. I saw the beginning of it. I thought it looked really nice.
Okay. So.
Just some feedback I've gotten is just people, you know, they like it. Just comments are just like, okay, is the state going to, you know, the legislature, are they going to approve all the funding to, you know, get all the, you know, street and roads and everything, so if traffic and flow, that's something that people have been talking about. But I think they like the idea of having the ballpark there, but that's just something I've heard.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
I think there will be a lot more information, right? We will be able to provide a lot more information.
Yeah.
Going forward over the next several months.
Yeah.
And get through this legislative session and work with all the stakeholders. Continue. We've been working with stakeholders, but continue working with all the stakeholders. We'll have a lot more answers for the public. Today was a business announcement, and the city will partner with the Miller Company on making quite a bit more information available as it comes available and as we're able to. But I do think it's important for people to know that we're very mindful of concerns about traffic and things like that, and all of those things were considered by both the Miller Company and the city. During these discussions, mm-hmm. to ensure that that this doesn't disrupt quality of life, but that this becomes an enhancement to the quality of life here, you know, and we're fully committed to that. Yeah, as are other stakeholders. So, yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
Yeah. Mayor, before you start your next item, Director Rasmussen brought a card for each of you to sign to give to Mr. Erdman. He was our snowplow driver that recognized the child in the snow cave.
Oh, yeah, that was lovely.
We wanted to do something, so.
I wrote just a little note here. I'll
great.
Just let you guys
thank
pass
you.
If you want to sign or add anything.
Yep, thank you.
We'll pass that along to Mr. Erdman.
Can I ask a question? How did we find out? Did he tell us, or was it the resident that told us?
So he took a picture of it because
okay.
we always try to learn from things. Right? So he shared it with his boss so that we could share it with the whole department.
Okay.
And then our stormwater and sanitation manager shared it with me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So that was incredibly awesome and could have been terribly tragic.
And I'm not sure the homeowner even knows.
Probably not.
Probably not.
So the
really?
Family that has the kid that was in the snow cave don't
wow.
know?
I don't know for sure, but... You made sure the kid got out. And
it made my heart just...
Yeah.
Yeah. My little boy got run over at age 2.
I didn't know that.
My Luke, who's 6'2", big, strong water polo team captain, he got run over at 2, and we rushed him to the ER, and the doctors and the police that all came on site said, there's no reason you should be going home with this little boy. He should have died. A truck ran over his chest. We have a little t-shirt with a tire track across his chest.
Oh my
God. So I read that and I just about started bawling because it's, had
wow.
they touched that cave, the little boy wouldn't have survived.
Mm-hmm.
And our little boy was a miracle.
Wow.
He's 24 now, but miracle.
You still have the tire tracks across his chest? Or?
I saved the little t-shirt. I will never, ever get rid of that t-shirt because it reminds me of miracles.
One of the, we do training for all employees at the beginning of the snow season, but that's one thing that's in our training every late fall, early winter is look for this on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Look for what might like be a snow cave. So,
yeah, good for him.
Yeah, unfortunately he was paying attention.
And
to
if you have a gut response,
yeah.
stop and respond. I just salute to him. I'm so glad you're doing a card. Yeah, it just tore my mom a heart for a minute. I was like, oh, this could have been terrible. But yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Item E on our agenda, we've got a discussion item. We're going to talk about Streetscapes Master Plan. I'm going to turn it over to Colby Hill and Mark Morris with our parks and landscape and planning. And guys, take it away. Talk us through this Streetscape Master Plan.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor and Council, first of all, for allowing us to take some of your time today. We're really excited to present to you something that we've been working on and we're excited about. We'd love to get your feedback. We have a few more steps to go after we present this and we gather your feedback before we bring it to you for formal adoption. You should know that while I'm the one that's sitting here making the presentation, I really represent the work of a lot of people. There's a lot of staff members that have contributed time and effort to this plan, as well as Mark and his team. And I'll introduce Mark to you here in a second. This streetscape master plan is really designed for us to be a guide for the future with regards to either converting our current park strips and or planning for future park strips. And Mark will get into a little bit more detail about what that will look like and what our intent is. But Mark is with Voda Landscape, and he has a lot of acronyms after his name. I don't know what all those acronyms mean. But he's done a fantastic job, and his team has done a great job at guiding us through this process and helping us understand different aspects and opportunities that we might have. I want to make clear before Mark gets into his presentation that the information we'll talk about today applies only to park strips and streetscapes that the city owns and or maintains. It doesn't apply to a residential park strip or something in front of someone's home. This is strictly what we maintain and what we're responsible for. So we didn't delve into anything residential on this. So with that, I'll turn the time over to Mark, and we'll take it from here.
Okay, great. good to be with you tonight, Mayor and Council, and talk about streetscape. As Colby said, my name is Mark Morris. I am a principal landscape architect with Voda Landscape and Planning. We're an urban design and landscape architecture firm here in Salt Lake County. We have been working with Colby and several of your staff members over the past several months to come up with a process and guiding principles for updating, as Colby mentioned, only the park strips and medians that the city maintains. So tonight we just wanted to walk you through some of the main concepts, kind of how we've arrived at where we have arrived at, answer your questions, get your input, and hopefully refine this master plan a little bit. Let's see, I guess where do I... There we go. So we have been working with several divisions of the city. There are a lot of people who have expertise and input for this type of process. We've spent time with a few of these on one-on-one to kind of talk about, you know, urban forestry, engineering, all of the things that kind of go into those processes. The main goals, we don't need to read through all of this, but the main goals for the streetscape master plan are really, one, to reduce the amount of water used in these park strips. We'd estimated that about 90 to 95% of these park strips maintained by the city are traditional turf grass, which requires a lot of water, a lot of maintenance every week, just a lot of attention. And so that main goal is just to reduce the amount of water that is used. You think about water as a budget, you would it'd be much wiser to use that water in public parks, things like that, where turf grass and those sorts of things make a lot more sense, as opposed to medians and park strips where grass isn't necessarily necessary. The second is to reduce the maintenance resources required to maintain what's going on in these park strips. As you know, park strips, street trees, all of these things contribute a lot to the feel of the city, the look of the city, the brand of what the city is. And so using that water and maintenance time wisely to create a landscape that really says something about South Jordan. The last is, of course, to create an attractive landscape. We want to make sure that it looks lush and green. When we talk about xeriscape is not wagon wheels and cow skulls and cactuses. Xeriscape is really just zoning plants by their water need. And so with this streetscape master plan, we're not trying to make this look like Phoenix. What we're trying to do is choose plants and trees that will do really well in our climate with the amount of water that we've got, and really, again, have an attractive look to the city's streets. If you have any questions or comments, please, by all means, let's talk through them. A big question that comes along a lot is how much water can Xeriscape save? It's estimated somewhere between 50 and 75% of the water that we put down can be saved, going from traditional turf grass to a Xeriscape approach. The good thing about Xeriscape is over time, as plants get larger and their root systems get larger, we can put less and less water on the landscape and get a lush and green look to it. So with the amount of space that the city maintains in these park strips, we're talking about many millions of gallons saved over time. We look at the lake that's drying up and the growth that is coming and happening already, making sure that water that we're using it wisely in the city. The things we'll talk through tonight, some of it is very much in the weeds, it's very detailed. We'll try to focus on the high-level principles. With Xeriscape, really one of the first things that has to happen is refining or tweaking the irrigation system, lining up the irrigation system with what the plants will need, and having a little bit more control. For a long time, we've looked at irrigation, and it's just we're spraying water and hoping for the best. This is really trying to design a system that will, again, be really wise with the water that we're using. So in the upper left, you can see that there is kind of a diagram. What we're trying to do with this master plan, as we go through phases of a project like this, updating that irrigation system so that the trees in the city's park strips and the other plants are on two different valves. And so a valve basically turns on water, turns it on and off with a timer. When we have those on separate valves, it makes it really easy to control those separately. If we're changing what's going on underneath the tree that's very used to getting lots and lots of water because it's had turf underneath it for lots of years, when that water goes away, those trees can get stressed and we see lots of trees die off and there's big problems there. With this master plan, the intent is that we're separating the trees and the plants so the tree zone can be operated separately from the rest of the plants. The diagram on the lower left is what's called a root watering system. Without getting into too much detail, a root watering system basically is a piece of infrastructure that gets the water to the root ball of the tree. And so we're getting the water rather than the top 3 inches of the root ball, getting water down to where the tree really, really needs it. The great thing about having those separately operable, when we have, you know, a summer like we had last summer that was super hot and dry, we can give the trees a little bit more water separately from what's going on with the rest of the landscape.
It's very cool.
So it's saying, okay, there are ways to be more efficient. As we've talked with city staff and identifying kind of how to upgrade these systems, a lot of these park strips have an old-timey timer. I'm sure a lot of you have these in your garage where it's sort of this knob and it's anybody's guess what it is you're doing or setting. Now there are lots of smart timers that can connect to weather stations so they don't run when it's windy or raining. They can be operated remotely, so city staff can be here at City Hall, check on when things were last watered. Just a lot of technology that is present today that perhaps wasn't around when a lot of these park strips were installed. So that's kind of the first piece.
Can I ask a question? So if you'll go back to that slide.
Sure.
That's brilliant. My husband and I used to own a landscape sprinkler installation company. For years we ran it. So I'm kind of aware of this. I've never seen this. This is brilliant. Is there an example of some city or somewhere around that actually has this system? With the trees and the bushes on different...
Sure. We have been doing a lot of work the last few years with Research Park at the University of Utah.
Okay.
They have more turf grass than anybody in the state, mm-hmm. and they can see that there's no reason for them to continue to maintain that. We've been converting a lot of that landscape using this type of system for several years now. They have a lot of existing trees, obviously, they want to keep, and so doing something like this where they can give the trees the water that it needs... while also kind of being able to control that a little bit more more distinctly.
We also have, sorry, Mr. Sheldon.
Oh, you started first.
we might answer
my question.
We have this system in some of our properties currently, and it's mm-hmm. also in our, Highland Park would be an example.
Oh, good.
Heritage Park. And then the other thing to keep in mind is this type of system where it separates the two is already in our standards and specifications, in our engineering standards and specifications. So future build-outs
will require this. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So just out of curiosity, thank you, Mayor.
Of course.
Rendering me disappointing. Does this kind of watering system on the trees, does it have any impact on keeping the roots from damaging the adjacent sidewalk?
Mm.
Not necessarily. Usually that has more to do with the type of tree that is in the park service. Some trees are different than others.
Sure.
Some trees will pop up a sidewalk really quickly. Some will be there for decades and never. So the irrigation system, I wouldn't say, is a determining factor there. The system itself, something like this, the great thing is it's something that can, you know, retroactively be put in with existing trees. One thing I'll also mention, if we get to a point or when we get to a point where we start having water restrictions, the city can then make that decision and say, well, obviously we want to save our trees. If we're going to turn on water for these, you know, public trees, you can control that really, really easily. Obviously, it's a lot easier to replace landscape that's, you know, smaller shrubs and grasses than it is to replace nice 30-year-old mm-hmm. trees. 100%. So the intent is to kind of meet that standard that already exists in the city and kind of lay the groundwork for a more efficient system.
I love it.
So as I mentioned, part of this process, what we really kind of focused on is what will this process actually look like? So we won't go through each one of these steps, but what we've done is set up here are the steps that would city staff would go through when updating a segment of the landscape for a particular corridor. And so we went through and said, okay, here are those steps, here's how those would play out, and what are sort of the sub-steps for each one of those. We wanted to make sure that it was really easy to replicate. Because this is a multi-year plan, to say, okay, here's what that process looks like, and at every step of the way, kind of what are the inputs that would be necessary. As part of this, working with the urban forester and city staff, what we've done is we've pulled trees from the city's standards as far as street trees are concerned. We've come up with three different lists, large, medium, and small. The tree would be selected based on the width of a park strip or the width of a median. And so these are trees that already are showing up in the city, but then saying, okay, one of the inputs would be to say, okay, this stretch that is being updated, the width of the park strips is this. That tells us we'll pull from this specific list. We'll take this tree. Again, try to make it pretty systematic so that it's not a long, arduous process to kind of work through a project of this type, as the city has a lot of linear miles of street to update. Same with the plants for the kind of ground level, pulling those from city standards, plants that show up on the Conservation Garden Park plant list. With this process, we used just a few things of criteria. We wanted, number one, of course, for the plants to be low water. Two, for them to be simple maintenance. So when we say simple, these are things that might need annual attention. We didn't want to put things out there that needed to be cut back or deadheaded or just that constant attention. Really to say, is this something that if it's cut to the ground once a year, that's all it needs? We were focused also on a wide spread, so we didn't want things that were going to grow tall and create safety issues, but something that would cover a lot of ground and feel lush. Have it feel like it's not, again, wagon wheel, cow skull landscape.
Love that visual.
And then the last, of course, was salt.
It's so ugly.
The salt tolerance is kind of the last thing to make sure that these are plants that are going to do fine this time of year when there's lots of salt and things crushing in the park strips, making sure they were things that were pretty pretty durable. So again, as part of the master plan, it's a lengthy document, but the process itself was really saying, here are a few inputs. The output from that will then tell us what it is that we're going to do. This that you can see on the upper left is a worksheet that we put together that really says, okay, city staff can say, here is a quarter mile length of a particular corridor. What are the inputs that we need? Putting those into this worksheet then gives us, we kind of did it in modules, where each module would say, okay, this will be 30 feet in length. We're going to need, you know, 3 dozen plants. Pull those from the plant list. Make it very systematic so that, again, it's something that city staff can do as budget and capacity allow. Those modules really come in 30-foot or 60-foot lengths, and so that makes it very easy if we say this section of 106 South, we're going to update, it's 2,000 feet in length, here's how many modules it'll take to do that. Keeping it quite simple to say, okay, each one of these sub-projects, we might use 2 or 3 plant types at the ground level, so that we keep it quite simple, we're not creating a botanical garden out there. We want to have a nice look. We want it to be maintainable. We want it to be low water, but something that can, again, be implemented in stages over time. In the master plan itself, there are a few renderings to kind of illustrate what that might look like. Again, the plant types were intended to be super durable, low water, lush. Some of them, you know, still bloom. There's no reason why we can't have things that bloom and have flowers, but keeping the list pretty simple for each of these projects. Prioritization. Obviously, we can't do this all at once. That's a huge undertaking, and so working with city staff, came up with a phased, prioritized plan for the city. And we can talk through this if there may be specific opinions about this, but we can kind of talk you through the justification for these priorities. So the red corridors here would be first priority. It was identified that the most visible corridors might be the best place to start. Doing the entire length of this, of these main corridors, this might be a multi-year project to do that, but really focusing on 13th West, 106 South, 114th South. You can see there's a little segment of 2700 West. Staff thought there was a specific part of that that might be a good kind of test case project. So rather than jumping into a high-speed corridor like 106th, where a project has a little bit more complexity, identifying a short segment to say, okay, let's try that as kind of test case, see what we need to modify or refine a bit before we jump into some of these larger corridors. Second priority corridors are those in blue, and the third priority in orange. Redwood Road is kind of shown as a dashed. We understand there's Google Fiber project going on along Redwood Road, so it was identified that the last thing we want to do is update that corridor and then have Google come in and start tearing things up. So that was sort of the TBD, whether that's your second or third priority, but based on when Google might be finished with the utility project on Redwood Road, that one could be added. So, and again, this isn't an update the entire length of each one of these corridors. It's really focused on just those that that the city maintains. This map here, the green you can see shows some of those corridors have quite a bit that the city maintains. Some of them have large segments that the city doesn't actually maintain large swaths of each of these.
And this only goes to about 40th-ish left.
This is just a screenshot from the plan, and there's a full map in the plan.
Does it move further west than the previous map? Or is it that where it ends? I mean, is any of this included in Daybreak at all?
So can you go back one slide?
Yes.
Maybe two.
Sorry,
maybe
one
two.
More.
Yeah.
So okay, the plan itself goes all the way to the city limit on the west. It's just there isn't a lot that the city actually maintains on the west side of the city. So in Daybreak, there are a few areas, but not a huge amount.
Okay.
A far larger amount that the city maintains on the east side. So the plan itself includes that area. It's just, it was a pretty boring map. I didn't want to put it in.
That's all I was wondering. Yeah.
Yeah, there are very few park strips or even streetscapes that we maintain in Daybreak.
Right.
Yep.
So, yeah. Sunstone.
Sunstone.
The last thing that I'll mention, another driving factor in this process was identifying some of the areas of the city where park strips are maintained by the city, but according to the city's code, should actually be maintained by the property owner. And so this it really is intended to start a process of talking through what that might look like. If these park strips are updated, what does that handoff look like? If it's possible, if it's feasible, if the property owner is open to that. This map itself identifies a few segments. The red segments there are those where the city is maintaining, but according to city's code, it should be maintained by the property owner.
Can I ask a clarifying question then? So say I live on one of these areas that's green, mm-hmm. and I have a park strip in front of my house. You're saying the city is supposed to be maintaining that, or maybe is, but the homeowner should be. Does that mean my sprinkler system is going to that?
No.
Or does it mean yours is and we need to switch it?
Most of these cases are when the city has purchased right-of-way and we've agreed to take that maintenance. And so it's tied to our irrigation system and not theirs.
Okay.
But the idea, or at least the intent of this part of the plan, is to open the discussion so that we understand, okay, we've made that long-term commitment to understand the long-term dollars that are going towards that. And so that's really what it is. Most of these are when we've needed to do right-of-way, and we've agreed with the homeowner that we're going to purchase the right-of-way, but we're going to maintain it. And that's been part of the negotiation.
Okay, so maintain means we're mowing it, we're watering it, we're doing everything to it.
Correct.
So does that mean like the land outside of South Jordan Middle, it looks like?
I
think that's Redmayer.
So what this map indicates are these are the segments where the code would imply that should be maintained by the property owner.
Right.
If it's something that's...
The segment in front of South Jordan Middle is red.
Yeah. So some of those we may say, okay, well that the city can continue to maintain. It's really just to identify here are those that code would indicate it, you know, it shouldn't be on the city's maintenance. So really, again, like Colby said, it's just meant to start that conversation to say these are the factors at play. The code itself is pretty clear on when and when the city should not be maintaining. But, of course, there's a long history of agreements and discussions and those types of things.
In council, a lot of those happened, like 2200 West that we just did the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know, we did a park strip. A lot of those residents didn't even have irrigation systems. They flood irrigated or did some other factor. And so we had really no choice but to take on those park strips. We tried to work with Colby to make those as minimal maintenance as possible. But so that's where we had to commit to maintaining those park strips and a lot of those projects. We had some on 27 West, 2200 West.
13. Some of them are state road projects where they require us by state statute to maintain.
It's the only way really could work it out.
So the intent is when city staff is looking at this, going through the worksheet and saying, okay, according to this map, this little segment meets those qualifications, have that conversation. Should it stay in the city's maintenance or should property owners be approached to talk about that? So it was really an analysis as part of the scope of this project.
And I don't anticipate us going back to the resident and saying, we're giving you this park strip back. It's really just so that we can review that as part of the process and have a good understanding of what it means for us. We certainly don't want to go back to the residents and say, we made this agreement and we're going to pull back on that agreement, that's not the case. Mm-hmm. We'll still continue to maintain those in most cases.
Are you opening up the questions now? Or?
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So I have maybe a couple, but can I assume that you're coordinating with Brad and his group so that we're... You mentioned you're doing some collaboration there, but I'd hate to see us do some projects and then have a widening of a road and completely dismantle what we spent. So, like, you had 106 redlined all the way to Daybreak.
Yeah.
Won't there be some changes to 106 from Redwood to... So you're
three straight there, aren't they, though?
Yeah, we'll have to coordinate that.
Yep.
Because UDOT will widen from Redwood to Bangor. It's in their plan to do that at some point.
Oh, yeah, they will.
So we need to talk about maybe something might not want to use that section right away.
So that's my point with the whole,
right.
with the whole question yeah. is you are coordinating with Brad and his group to make sure that we aren't going to be widening or something. So I'm hopeful that that is the case.
Brad, Jeremy Nelson was part of that working group, and so there was some things he pointed out, but this is it's not like this is set in stone. We're going to, before we invest any money into changing the landscape, we're going to know what this future schedule is. Yep.
I was hoping that that was the answer.
Yes.
We can and talk together once in a while, Brad.
I am glad to hear. I'm glad to hear that. So, and then another question is on 2200 that Brad just mentioned. So there are areas there, probably on at least the north side, where there is nothing but rock. And so, tell me what is the idea? Because you just showed a couple slides where you've got these intricate lines, and you're feeding. You know, shrubs and trees and everything. And I come out of my subdivision, and all it is rock for hundreds of yards. So tell me about that.
I can probably answer it. So we had money budgeted. We bid the job to take that rock up, plant plants from the irrigation, put the rock back in, essentially, right? But in that process, when we bid it and the work started, we had a lot of residents complain that we shouldn't be planting any plants because of the drought and what everybody was going through. So City Manager Watcott directed us to get the irrigation pipes and everything in, and then we changed the contract and didn't plant the plants. And so it's set up to come in and put plants in later if we want to or need to. But it was felt by City Manager Watcott at the time that it would be best in the middle of this drought and what's going on to not put any landscaping.
I'd be okay this spring.
The pipes are there, so we can irrigate it in the future if we want to put plants in, but it was just the timing was really bad and the optics of it were really bad.
Our intent is not to leave them that way. Our intent is to re-landscape them. And we did not plant some plants. We had already taken possession of the trees, so we moved those trees to other locations throughout the city, knowing that at some future point, we will just put trees in the same locations where they were called to go on the plans. We'll still continue to move forward with 2200 West. I just don't know when it will happen. But maybe this spring. We've had a decent winter, so...
Yeah, I hope that future large projects with federal funding, state whatever funding, that we're incorporating that into the finished product instead of doing it one way and then having come back, because that's got to be more expensive than to just do it one time. So
it is.
Anyway, I think you get the hint.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Probably more of a comment than a question, but you know, we see people converting all the time in our neighborhoods, and I probably actually like one out of 10 of the conversions. You know, and even if it's just all rocks, there's still weeds that get in there and grow, and they're apparently salt resistant.
Yes, they are.
You know, and so, you know, it's not going to be as easy as zipping a mower down there. You're going to have somebody walking along and pulling weeds. So it's going to change maintenance and stuff like that.
And
you know?
As part of this process, we talked about city standards for, you know, kind of paying attention to those types of things. This does include a weed barrier and rock mulch to reduce the amount of weeds required. The hope is that, you know, weeds are minimal as possible for these park strips. So again, a lot of this is kind of lining up what's going on in those park strips with the existing requirements or code guidelines from the city.
And beyond just weeds from a maintenance perspective, I mean, in our community, trimming the bushes is an enormous task. And I think Mr. Shelton probably can acknowledge that even in his own home with the number of shrubs that he has to trim. I mean, cutting the grass is the easy part, but just like, you know, it's you know, we have to go in there, and we have so many. You know, they look great when they're trimmed and everything like that, but it's we pay a lot of money to get our bushes trimmed, and it is a pretty big task. So from a maintenance perspective, I mean, what's it going to look like for maintenance on our property? I know we want to send people out to do the mowing, but what does it look like with these, with the shrubbery that you're looking at putting in? So,
yeah, two great responses and questions. From my 20-plus years of experience in the landscape business, there's no such thing as a zero-maintenance landscape. There just isn't. You can make it as low-maintenance as possible, but there's still maintenance that will be required. Pulling weeds will be something that's still required. Currently, we contract out the maintenance of our park strips to a third-party contractor. They do a great job. I anticipate that we'll continue that, but the scope of work will change. They'll still be required to be there weekly, and they'll be required to pull weeds rather than mow grass. We'll make sure that is accounted for in that agreement with them, that they're taking care of that. There's no doubt that park strips are a harsh environment for any type of landscape.
Except for weeds.
We might be able to thank our first ancestors for that. I don't know. But it's a harsh environment. It's generally next to a road that gets super hot, whether it's asphalt or concrete, and there's radiant heat that comes off of it. Salt is not kind to any plant, ever. Depending on how much salt you have. And then watering is very, very difficult on a park strip. But this design puts the water where it's supposed to be. It introduces more salt-tolerant plants. Doesn't mean that they're salt-proof, just salt-tolerant. We'll still have some mortality among our trees and our plants that we'll need to maintain. But I'm confident that this plan moving forward will give us... South Jordan's known for... When you drive into the city, you know you're in South Jordan. And part of that is the park strips. We don't want to lose that identity. Park strips and trees, right? We don't want to lose that. And I think that this plan will help us maintain that identity, but maybe in a better way. So we're aware that there's still a lot of maintenance that will be required. We feel confident that we'll be able to address that. So,
and I think to further answer your question, I think the plants that we pulled from all these, you know, plant lists, we tried to focus on plants that wouldn't need someone out there every week, you know, kind of doing something to it. It's okay once a year. It just needs to be cut to the ground, and that's it. So that was definitely part of that process of evaluating how much time does this actually need on an annual
basis. That's the thing with bushes and shrubs. They only look nice when they're well-trimmed. Otherwise, it kind of starts getting a little scraggly.
Can you go back about four slides to that picture you had that had the trees and that one right there?
Sure.
So I have some of those bushes in my yard just because by the time I came along, we had to do it at daybreak. And we really don't trim those hardly ever. I'm guessing the bushes you have at your houses are a different nature of bush. Yeah. But these are drought tolerant. They don't, I mean, I trim them maybe once every 3 to 5 years, maybe. if that. They just kind of grow. So I think what you're saying is true, but these are different types of plants.
Exactly.
Am I wrong?
No, that's exactly right. I think we tried to choose things that would kind of look great regardless of how much time was being devoted to them. Most of them on the plant list are quite low as well. You may have heard of SEPTED, crime prevention through environmental design. We didn't want like full shrubs out there in the park strip. So most of these are quite low, focused on things that would kind of spread to fill in a lot of
and these
of
don't grow
space.
At a rapid rate because of the low water. They're just kind of, they kind of sit there. Just don't, they don't, their growth is very decelerated, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, yeah. There are no rose bushes out there that require much attention. But with Xeriscape, generally it's considered the first 2 years are establishment years. So you have to put a significant amount of water in those first 2 years in order to get them established. As I mentioned, once a plant has a larger root system, that water can be turned down pretty significantly and still have the nice lush look that we're after.
Lush is generous. Yeah. But it is green and it's
green.
Better than rocks, and I like it better than rocks or bark. So they're a great option.
I think so too. I do like this plant and I agree with you. We want to maintain the look and feel that people expect in the city. And when they pull into the city, when they drive through, that is one of the number one things we're known for. And I like this. I like the plants you've chosen. I like the pictures of the different level 1, 2, and 3 of trees and plants. And I do think that done right, the way you're describing, this has potential to be very lovely. So.
Yeah, I think, I don't know who said there, conversions in their neighborhood. I think if you can tell that it's Xeriscape, it's usually not done right. If it's something where it feels like, oh, it's not just plants, a lot of it has to do with the density of planting and with the kind of modular system that I talked about. The intent is we're planting it densely enough that someone isn't going to drive by and say, oh, the city's putting in gravel and not much else. It's really the intent is it'll still feel like it's that South Jordan look that you've got, just less water, less maintenance.
Can I ask another question? Do we have a city ordinance that says the ground cover needs to be rock or bark? Do we have any stipulation on
that? Yes. The city code?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Thank you.
So code. What's being proposed here, it complies with city code.
So this is rock?
Correct.
So our city code says rock over bark?
It allows for either.
Yeah.
Mm.
Rock is better than bark, though. Because bark fades.
Bark.
It looks bad.
Yeah, bark has to be replaced.
You have to replace.
We had a long conversation about mulch in this room. And the rock, for a lot of reasons, is a better way to go. It's a one-and-done type of project. Bark, as you know, disappears.
It looks nice from when it starts to fade away.
So unless you have other questions, which we'd be happy to entertain, the process from here is we'll go back now. We'll create a near final draft, which is really where we're at. We will go to the Planning Commission and present this to the Planning Commission so that they have an opportunity to provide feedback and provide their recommendation to you as a council, and then we'd like to come back to you as a council in a regular council meeting for adoption. Once it's adopted, we'll start putting budget numbers together. We know we have some in the Water Conservation Fund to start doing things now. So I think we'll have an opportunity to, as soon as this is formally adopted, to pull some triggers on some things and start moving forward. But that's our process from here.
Colby, what kind of a timeline are we looking at? I mean, this is a lot of miles of a park strip to get through. How many years do we anticipate this could take?
Depends on how much
I'm aware it's going to be a lot. Yeah. This is long game.
Yeah.
I think 5 to 7 years, but we know of grants that are available and we're going to go after them. And so if we can get some more money, that might accelerate it.
Thank you.
One last thing to mention with the goals from this plan. A lot of these were really pulled from the city's existing general plan, where there were some pretty specific things said about streetscape and how that kind of lines up with the community's expectations. I think once some of these projects get going, obviously this is a very visible project, and so as the city continues to encourage people to use less water or use water more efficiently, some of these projects can be pointed to and those plant lists can be shared to say, here's what the city's been using in the city-maintained park strips. You know, recommend those get used in, you know, for private property owners and business owners as well.
Awesome. Any other questions or comments? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank
Appreciate
you.
Appreciate it. Well, I don't know if there's anything else in the regular meeting that you want any more information about in this meeting, but in more than 5 years, this is the soonest that we've ever adjourned this meeting. anybody have anything else you want to go over while we're in here? If not, I will ask for a motion to adjourn. Tamara had a question that she wanted to just bring up in staff comments to see if Rachel could just give us an update about where the annual report is, like how close it is to coming out. Or
Rachel's here. We can ask Rachel where we're at with that progress and the anticipated timeline. Rachel, do you want to give us an update on where you're at with the annual plan and what its release date is scheduled for?
Yes, absolutely. So final edits are going in. I've got some of the last ones. And our designer's going to make them. We're going to get them over to a printer Friday. And then at that point, it'll be about a week or two before they hit homes. So
we're hoping
to hit as close to the end of the month. It might be a little bit into beginning of February.
Have we been able to refine our mailing list? Last year, my sister in Riverton happened to receive one.
It is by zip code is how we have to do it. So if anybody happens to be in the zip code, but technically they're in another city. Sometimes there's some weird things that go over the border. It depends on the postal service and how they deliver stuff. The one year where all of Riverton got it,
that was not our fault.
That can never happen again.
And so that was the year.
That was a couple years ago, I think.
That was a few years ago, and that one was, we got free ones delivered to Riverton.
Was it Riverton or Harriman that got them?
The entirety of Riverton.
Yeah.
So it's
going
to go to
Mayor Stacks. Appreciate it.
I know
that could never happen
so
again.
So 84095 and 84009 in its entirety.
Yes.
Okay.
And residential, not postal.
But any business or residential.
I believe so.
In that. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. If there's nothing else, I'll ask for a motion to adjourn.
Yeah.
All right. Motion
yes,
by Mr. Shelton.
Yeah.
Second by Mr. Marler. All in favor, please say aye.
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 We are adjourned.